Our scripture lesson this morning comes from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. We're going to look at the first half of it right now, and then we'll look at the second half of the chapter in a few minutes. You need to know this was written by the Transformer. This was written by Saul, who was also known as Paul. And he writes, from experience, "For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart." Did you catch that? "We are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. For if we are besides ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf." May God bless this reading of his holy word. Two preacher's kids, Josh and Ryan Shook, when they went to college, had a crisis of faith. Realized that they were living their father and mother's faith, the faith that they had been taught so freely in church, and a good faith, not an evil faith, a good faith. But they realized in college that they had to have more than their parents' faith. They had to have their own. They had to own it. It had to dwell in their heart. It had to be about more than an appearance of faith. It had to dwell inside them. They wrote a book called Firsthand. The subtitle, I love the subtitle, "Ditching Secondhand Religion for a Faith of Your Own." Now, this isn't about ditching what their parents believe, but it was about saying, I can't believe it just because they believe it. I need to own it for it to be real and transformational in my life. And in their book, They expound upon an idea that they have read that C.S. Lewis writes about. And I'm just going to read to you what they wrote about this. It says, C.S. Lewis once explained that you are like a living house, and God has come to remodel you. At first, he just does the little things, such as repairing holes in the roof. You knew those things needed to be fixed, so you aren't surprised by them, and you don't mind that God is doing these things. But then he suddenly starts knocking out walls and making a huge mess. What on earth is he up to, you ask? You soon realize that God is doing more than a little remodeling in your life. Your life is in the middle of a major reconstruction. What you believe, how you think, what is important to you, all of it is being taken apart and put back together again. It's like God is adding new wings to the house. He's building new levels and expanding everything. He is changing everything from the inside out. Maybe you're going through some really painful changes and challenges in your life right now, they write, and you're not sure what God is doing. Maybe you've allowed God to come through the door of your house to start remodeling your character, but you're unsure where this will take you and when it will end or what your life will look like when he's finished. When this happens to you, you're likely to be confused and full of doubts. Change, after all, is hard, and for a long time, maybe years, you won't really be able to see what God is up to. But there's a reason for it all. Lewis wrote, "You thought you were being made into a decent little cottage, but he is building a palace, and he intends to come and live in it himself." How we long, as Paul writes, to shed the flesh of this world, the pain, the struggle, the sin. How we long to be pure and holy and strong, clothed in righteousness. How we long to be clothed with that body that only Christ can give us. For that is what we were created to long for. But the truth is that we also resist the very thing that we want. We resist the very one that brings us this wonderful transformation. The transformation that we see in 2 Corinthians 4, where Paul talks about us being empty vessels filled with the Spirit of God. We resist the momentary light affliction that Paul talks about that produces for us an eternal weight of glory. We long for the change of clothing that Christ brings, but for a time it can be painful. It can be a struggle as we must be put through a fire that refines us, that gets rid of the stuff that doesn't help us, that gets rid of the stuff that hinders us. We say, "Lord, just enough change to make me better than I am right now." And maybe in our sinful hearts we say, "Lord, just enough change to make me better than the person sitting next to me." But Jesus sees the potential that he created within us. And He wants us to shine like purest gold. So He keeps on working on us and in us. I'm not sure who's running video today, Justin or Carter, but one of you, could you pull up for me 1 Peter 1, 3? I think I saw Justin come in, but I know Carter's up there. Either one of them can do it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And we're going to keep going. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, we need to go through this to be refined so that we're prepared and enabled for that eternal weight of glory. Helen Keller said that character cannot be developed in ease. I'm going to start over. I left off to the end of the sentence. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience and trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened. Vision cleared. Ambition inspired. And success achieved. Yes, the rebuilding process is difficult. Anyone that has gone through a home remodel can attest to it. It is messy. It is disruptive to normal life. It is exhausting. It is trying of the patience. But oh, it is so worth it when we see the end result. But before we see it, we have to catch the vision. How many of you have ever remodeled? Raise your hands. Okay. Did you get to see the finished job before it was completed? No, it's impossible, right? Although with computers, it's getting to be a little easier. Was it a lot of work? Was it a struggle? Can I hear an amen on that one? Did you get angry once in a while? So how do we get through it? We get through it by faith that in the end it will be worth the effort. So how do we get through our faith struggles, our life struggles? By knowing that God is going to use them to refine us, to make us ready for that eternal weight of glory, knowing that in the end it will all be worth it. See, you could only imagine the results of your remodel. But you believed in them. And you struggled through them. And that is what our chief designer, our builder, is doing in us every day. So, I just want to give you a couple simple things that we can think about when we get into these struggles. How do we survive the remodel without falling down in a big pile of rubble?
You're looking at me.
Sorry, Dan.
I fell through the ceiling.
I know you did. And you're here by the grace of God, and I am thankful for that. Can we get an amen on that?
Amen.
All right. So how do we survive the remodel without falling down in a big pile of rubble? Be still and know that I am God. I know this one is hard, especially for the worker bee in all of us. If we are doing something, it means we're valuable. If we are working for Jesus, then it's even truer, right? This summer, I struggled with that for a few weeks when I went on my Sabbath rest. The first week, I was pacing around the house like somebody that I just didn't know what I was going to do. It was hard for me to sit down and read a book, because it's easier to jump in my truck and go visit somebody or work on a sermon plan or something like that, because I'm working for Jesus. I'm doing what I need to be doing. You see, when we sit down and we acknowledge, be still and know that I am God, we say that we trust our Father in heaven to control everything. I'm going to ask you to do a couple things. We're running short on time today, but I'm going to ask you to try a couple things at home. Sometime this week, sit down, and without anything in your mind, try and be still for 1 minute. And then think about how hard it was. Then after you've done that, then I want you to sit down and do it again, but this time, during that 1 minute when you're being still, all I want you to think about is how much love Jesus has for you when he's hanging on that cross. For 1 minute. You're probably going to have trouble stopping after a minute. Then do it again for 1 minute. Again, focus on the Good Shepherd leading you beside still waters, restoring your soul. And tell me if after those 3 minutes you aren't refreshed. Folks, we often have a crisis of conscience when we say with our lips, we trust you, God, to take care of me, to take care of us, to lead us, to show us the way. And then we don't stop long enough to listen to what he has to say to us. We just need to be still. So that's the first thing you can do, is be still. Second thing you can do is just let go of the control. He knows what we need. Ask him for what you need. Let him be in control of it. Let him show you. When Jesus went to Banyas in Israel, when I went to Israel, last time we went to a place called Banyas. It's also called Panyas. And in our Bibles, we know it as Caesarea Philippi. It's the location where Jesus sits down with the disciples and says, "Who do the people say that I am?" The reason that place is important is in the rocks on the side of the cliff, there are multitudes of places of worship for various gods. Jesus has basically walked to a place where people worship all kinds of gods. And he looks at them and says, "Who do the people say I am?" And then he says, "Who do you say I am?" Jesus asks us, who do you say that I am? And are you putting your money where your mouth is? You say I'm your Lord. You say I'm the leader of your life. Do you trust me to be your Lord? Do you trust me to be the leader of your life? Worship me with your heart, not your words. The last thing that we discover from this in 2 Corinthians 5 is that Paul, rather than reading it, I'll just tell you what it says. Paul says, and why do we do this? Why do we preach Christ in this way? Because when we who have received Christ are filled with His Spirit, we are called to the ministry of reconciliation. We are called to tell others about Christ. We are called to call others into reconciliation with God. Folks, this isn't just for us. There is a whole world out there. There are people in Peoria dying every day that don't know Jesus. We can't be comfortable knowing that. As much it breaks our heart when people suffer, and to know that they're suffering without the Lord of the universe, that should break every one of our hearts. That's 2 Corinthians 5. We long for Christ, and Christ longs for us to reach others in His name. Amen.